natural senses, your presence. And we thank you, Father, that you're not a God who hides yourself from us. You're a God who wants to reveal yourself and show us who you are. Show us how you love us. Show us so much of your presence and your goodness and kindness, benevolence. We thank you for that. And Father, as we just turn our attention tonight to the Word, I ask you that you would speak to us and reveal to each of us individually what you'd have us to see here tonight. And Father, I'm so thankful that you're not limited to what I say, but that the Holy Spirit who indwells every believer is the teacher, and he teaches us from the inside. And I pray tonight for eyes that would be open, and there would be light come to those eyes. There would be understanding come. There'd be insight, revelation come. Even if it's something completely off topic, Father, we know that by the Holy Spirit, you can reveal the truth to us, and we ask you to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you will, open your Bible over to Romans chapter 6, if you brought your Bible. You even still have a Bible. On Sunday, I spoke, and if you weren't here, I recommend that you get that message and listen to it. I talked about poison, and have had a whole lot of feedback from that since Sunday. A lot of things that people have approached me and said various things about how it impacted them or what some things that came to them. But tonight, it's not part two to that message, but I do want to start back here in Romans chapter 12, where I ministered from on Sunday, and go forward. And we're going to begin reading in Romans chapter 6 and verse 12. And I want to begin there in verse 12. And I'm going to actually read this in King James. I don't read in the King James, you know, very often, old King James, but I do because I like the wording a little bit. And it says, verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. And one of the things we talked about on Sunday is anytime you see the word let or let not, it's an indication that you have a choice to make, because sin doesn't just have to reign in your mortal body. You can let it not reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those who are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Hallelujah. We talked about that on Sunday. For you are not under the law, but under grace. Then it goes on. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. And he goes on. I'll just keep reading. It says, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Now, these are more verses I read a little further tonight than I did on Sunday from Romans chapter 6. But the reason I wanted to read it in the King James is because in the King James, it uses the word yield. And that word yield to me is so much of a description of how we live in Christ, what our position is in Christ, what our, the way that we position ourselves and the way we, our attitude in Christ is a yielded attitude. Our position is a yielded position. That's what God wants for us. That's what God's expecting from us. And that's how we really receive from him, is as a yielded vessel unto him. And the word yield means to give way. It means to surrender, to give in. These are some of the things, to submit. And, you're not really yielding unless there's an opposing force you're having to give into. If all your life you're just doing what you want to do, you're not yielding, because yielding, there's something coming. In order to yield, there has to be another force that you're surrendering to, or something that you're stepping back from. Now, we live over in South Carolina, right off exit 1 off of I-20. And so, and since I work at the church, I go home, I go down Washington Road, and then I turn up to the right and I go over the ramp and I go on I-20 and go home. And it's really tricky right there, and some of you who live in South Carolina will know this when I say it. When you're getting on the ramp and you're coming around, at the same time there's a ramp that exits the other way off of I-20 for people that are coming out west, they turn and they go on I-20, and those two ramps intersect. Do you know what I'm talking about? And they intersect, and it's really interesting because where those two ramps intersect, one lane has a yield and one lane doesn't. Okay? Are you familiar with this? Eddie, have you ever noticed that some people are supposed to be yielding? But what I have noticed, and Matt will back me up because we discuss this very often, the people who actually have the yield sign, I don't think many of those people are aware of the fact that they're, they can't read. Have you ever noticed that? They don't, because so many, I would say at least half the time that I approach that intersection and the people coming up on the right, they have plainly a yield sign, but you can look at the people and they don't even look to see if anybody's coming. And they're just driving. They never speed up or slow down, and they just merge over wherever you are. It's up to you. They are unyielding. And I've been there, and I'll just give you a little secret. When you're going with Matt, he likes it when other people, he's the nicest guy in the world until you put him behind the wheel of a car. And I've heard there are other men in this church that kind of follow that pattern, and we're going to have a prayer line for that coming up pretty soon. As soon as we find someone who can minister to those people, then we'll have one, just teasing. But anyway, he will be coming up to that, and I can see it. He kind of tenses up a little, and I know, because I keep out of the corner of my eye, I see there's a car coming, and I know he is not going to yield because he doesn't have the yield sign. And if they don't yield, it's going to be just a battle of the wits here. Because we have done it where we're side by side with people on this one lane road before. And since Matt drives a Suburban, I guess he thinks he can, power over them or something. That's his plan. He's checking out the size of their car and thinking, can I just knock them off or what? But, he's just like, and so it can be a tense moment. I'm just trying to go home, you understand? It's just been a long day. I just want to go home. I gotta cook something. I got them youngins over there. This is just what's on my mind, but not Matt. He's not gonna yield. They're gonna yield. Well, sometimes they do, sometimes they won't, but yielding is all about your heart. And you read the Bible and sometimes you don't understand this. I was talking to someone about this the other day. Our position before God under the old covenant, man's position before God, man didn't have a lot of choice about things. Man was dead in his trespasses and sins. Man was under the rule of sin. Man had a sin nature. And that was the position man was in. And when it came to God, God laid down the law and man could obey it or not. And it wasn't in his nature to be obedient to God. So there was always that rub, and it was just kind of a tough situation. But we now in Christ have a new nature. We don't have a sin nature. And we're free. When it comes to sin, we are free. That's what I just read. We're free from the power of sin because of what Jesus has done for us. In Christ, we're free from the power of sin. But again, under the old covenant, God looked at people and he laid out behaviors, and people were expected to follow those behaviors, and everything was judged based on your behavior. But under the new covenant, things are based on your heart. It's all about your heart. And the Bible says that God looks on the heart. And your ability to yield is all about your heart. And your willingness to yield is all in your heart. And God's looking for you to yield to him. And sometimes you might be at that intersection with the will of God and your will. And you might be, a lot of people there, again, I think some of those people that come into that sign, I think they don't even see it. Honestly, I think they're not even aware that there's a yield sign there. I think that they just think, I don't know what they're thinking, but they don't seem to even be aware. And I recognize that. I think there are a lot of believers, they're not even aware that God may have a will about something, that he may have a plan. They're just sort of coasting along, they're just driving through life, just trying to make it, and they're not really aware of God's plan. But it's Wednesday night at Good News Church. If you're here tonight, you're probably somewhat aware of the fact that God has a plan. Do you know that? That God has a will? I'm going to give you credit for that tonight. Just by the fact you came to church on a Wednesday night, you're a little more aware that God's, you know, got a design for you and a plan. And so you're at least aware. But again, if you don't acknowledge that there might be another something coming that you need to submit to, His will might be a little different than your will. You're still not going to yield. If there's nothing for you to yield to, you're not yielding. If you're not aware and you're not seeing it, you don't know what it is. You, first of all, you can't yield if you're not aware, and then you have to choose to yield, or you're like Matt and you're duking it out, you know. And the funny thing about God is He's not like the cars that match, you know, toe to toe with that. God backs off. I mean, He's not going to let you run off the road for his sake. He's like, oh, He's not going to force you over into His will. God doesn't force you into His will. Have y'all noticed that? He's certainly, I can testify tonight, He's certainly let me do what I wanted to do. And He's let you do what you wanted to do. It's not His will, but He lets you do it because that's His nature and that's our nature. He's given us the free will. So tonight I'm just wanting to talk a little bit about this yielding and how we yield and what we do. I'm just going to read some of those verses in the New Living Translation. Let's go back, Romans 6:12. Because it just reads so well. It just kind of flat lays it out. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let, again, it's just telling you not to let. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. So it means you have a choice. Sometimes, many times I think people don't think they have a choice. Instead, give yourselves completely to God. So that's the plan. Give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master, for you're no longer under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. Well then, since God's grace has set us free from the law, does that mean we can go on sinning? That's what we talked about on Sunday. Of course not. Don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? So whatever you yield to, you're becoming a slave to. You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living and to life. Thank God. Once you were slaves of sin, but now you, here's the heart word, wholeheartedly obey this teaching we have given you. Now you are free from your slavery to sin, and you have become slaves to righteous living. And I could just go on, but I'm going to stop there. Life in Christ is all about yielding. Walking with the Holy Spirit is about yielding. I think Harry mentioned that in a message recently. He was talking about the Holy Spirit, and he talked for a bit about the fact that the whole work of the Holy Spirit, all of His work in our life, is completely contingent upon us yielding to Him. But it's not just Him using us, it's how we live our lives, our thoughts and our attitudes and our behaviors, all of, you know, our steps and what course of life we go, you know, that we take. It's all based on if we're going to yield to Christ or not. Now, here's some good news I just thought I would throw in as we're discussing this. It's this: even in a dark place, even when you have given yourself over completely to sin, even when you have just seemingly sold out to the enemy and just laid out flat before Him and let Him have His way in your life. And I don't think any of you here tonight are in that place. But even if you were, even if you just were completely done, there is still hope for you, and you are still able to yield to God and the whole thing be turned around. And I can prove it to you from the scripture. I'm not going to read the scripture, but it's a story that I think I've told here recently, so I won't go over there. It's in Mark chapter 6, and it's the story of the madman of Gadara. It's a crazy man, a crazed man who lived out in the catacombs. He lived out where in the graveyard. That's where he lived. And the Bible tells the story. How many of y'all have heard the story about this man? So I'll see how many details I need to give. Okay, most of you know about him. He lives out there, and the story on him is he's demon possessed, and the devil, demonic power comes on him so strongly that he can break chains, that they've tried to chain him up, but the chains won't hold him because demonic power will manifest in him as he yields to the enemy, and he breaks the chains and pulls them off. And the Bible says he took stones and would cut his body. And they couldn't keep clothes on him. So he was just a complete madman, crazed person. No one in here is in that condition tonight. Thank God. That's good. Say, thank God. You got a reason to be thankful tonight. Thank God for that. So he was completely yielded to the enemy. I would say this man is a picture. If we had to pick somebody in the scripture to say, what does it look like to be a slave of the enemy? That man, I would say, fits the bill better than anybody in the scripture. I don't think you can find anybody in the scripture who's more sold out to the enemy than this man. Do you? Can anybody think of somebody? I'm open to suggestions. Okay. No suggestions. I mean, I'm thinking he is. But what I want you to know is that if you read in Mark 6, it tells a story of how Jesus came over on the boat, and the boat landed there on the shore, and Jesus got out of the boat. And when Jesus got out of the boat, something very interesting happened. Does anybody know what happened? The madman who had been terrorizing that community, I don't know if he heard the boat come ashore, if he saw a commotion of people, I don't know, but something got his attention, and he saw Jesus. And when he saw Jesus, the Bible says he ran to him, not away from him. Now, let me ask you something. If you were a devil and you possessed someone and Jesus came ashore, you have some knowledge that he's the Son of God. You have some knowledge of what he's done to wreak havoc in the enemy's camp. If you were a demon in charge of someone over, you know, indwelling a person and had control of them, what would you do if Jesus came ashore? You would run. You would make the man run, but not to Jesus, right? You'd make him run the other way. So don't you think it's interesting that this man was able to run to Jesus? Now, we know later in the story, when Jesus was casting the devil out of him, Jesus questioned him, and the guy told him his name was Legion, for we are many. And the word legion refers to the Roman armies, and a legion of soldiers was 2,000. So the idea is that this man was possessed by more than 2,000 demons. We know there were enough demons in him to fill a herd of pigs and run them off a cliff. So he was pretty bad off. So a man that didn't have one, I mean, I think it'd be really, it's horrible to be, you know, possessed by one devil. He had more than 2,000 devils possessing him. But even in that, he was able to overcome that resistance that the enemy, that what the enemy was pulling him to do, he instead yielded to God and he ran to Jesus. And then the Bible says, reads different ways in different translations. Some places say he worshiped him, and others say that he fell on his knees at the feet of Jesus. But the idea is the same. He fully yielded himself and fell down before Jesus. This is while the demons are still in him. This is while the demons are still controlling him. How do I know that? Because Jesus hasn't cast him out yet. And because when he opened his mouth to say something to Jesus, it wasn't the man, it was the demons. So he ran over. He had enough control over those demons that he could still yield to God and run to his deliverance and fall at his knees. Now, I don't know what you've been up against, what you have allowed to come in and take hold of your life. I don't know. People, you know, let's just be real. Life, there are a lot of things you can give yourself to. There are a lot of things that can take over your life. But I don't care tonight what may have entered in, what you may have yielded to, what may have taken over your life. You are not as far gone as this man. And this man was able to yield to God enough to get to Jesus, to fall down at his knees, and to be delivered of all those demon spirits, to the point that he was just in moments sitting upright in his right mind with clothes on for the first time in who knows how long. Major, major transformation in just a few moments in this man's life because he was able to yield to God. Now, what would you yielding to God do for you? What would you yielding for God? What would that do in your life? What could you be delivered of? What could you walk free of through just yielding to God? See, when he's cutting himself, he's yielding to the enemy. When he's resisting those that had come to help him and breaking those chains, he's yielding to the enemy. But in that moment, he yielded to God. So it doesn't matter where you are. If you will just turn and begin to yield to God, deliverance is right there for you. Now that's good news. That's good news. That freedom is right there at the point of you yielding. That's what happened to the man. There was freedom. As soon as he came and yielded, there was freedom for him. Isn't that good? There is freedom for you in yielding to God. There is freedom from sin in yielding to God. You heard me talk about on Sunday, if you weren't here again, you can hear the message. But Romans 6, I've read a lot of it. It says that we are free from sin. How does that freedom become a reality in my life? I hear you say that, Susie, but how do I experience it? The way it becomes a reality in your life is you begin yielding yourself to God. You start yielding yourself to Him, and that freedom will come forward. That freedom will come out. Your deliverance will come forth. Y'all see that? So now, what is it? How do I yield to God? What's this process look like a little bit? Well, I'm just going to read a verse. I'm just going to read some verses in Proverbs chapter 3. Because I think it starts right here. And the last night Jeremy Gall was here a couple of weeks ago, he read these verses and he talked about them in a way I had never thought about before. And it really helped me about some things I was dealing with in my own life. But I think it really applies here. And it's Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." You know what? Those phrases, that's yielding. So yielding involves me trusting God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Trust in the Lord and don't lean to your own understanding. So when there's a place in our lives where we don't understand, we trust in the Lord. And what Jeremy was talking about is that when we demand to understand, we're saying we don't trust God. When we demand, I have to understand this, we're saying, I don't trust God. And I can tell you there are things in life I don't understand, but I can tell you this, I trust God. I trust God. And how arrogant of me to say, well, no, you got to tell me so I can make a judgment on whether he's just or right. I can tell you this, God is just and right. And if somebody's in the wrong, it's me. And so I'm going to trust in the Lord and lean not to my own understanding and this. Let that stay in his hands. That's what Jeremy was talking about. But it works in this place of yielding. I'm trusting in the Lord. You know, we spent, how many weeks at the beginning of this year challenging ourselves to trust God? How many weeks was that? 9 weeks at the Trust Challenge. We'll probably do it at the beginning of the year again. We've done it the last several years, just challenging ourselves to trust God. Why? Because in this world, you have to like have a prod to trust God, because it's so easy to not trust Him. It's so easy to doubt. It's so easy to not believe, because the course of this world is all about doubting and not believing. But trust in the Lord. Here we go. How do you yield to God? First of all, you have to trust in the Lord and not in your own understanding. And then it goes on to say, and in all your ways, acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths. Just those little verses, those verses are all about yielding. So first of all, I determine I'm going to trust in God. I'm not going to lean to what I know. In other words, my way, what I think, what my rational mind tells me, what, you know, the wisdom of the world says. I'm going to trust in the Lord. Whatever's common to man, I'm not going to lean on that. I'm not going to look to, on Sunday I was talking about how in regards to sin is flowing in the world and people are involved in it to the point now that sin is the norm for everybody. I mean, you can't watch, there is so few things you could watch on television that are not active sin of some sort going on. Have you noticed this? Tell me a television program you can watch that is not in some way glorifying sin, and for the most part, I mean flat out just having a heyday with it. I mean, no wonder we watch a whole lot of animal documentaries. I mean, seriously, they're just like, you think about it. It's just so little that's really, because in all of that just seems normal. So people see that and they live that. They see it and they live it, because you live what you see. So they're doing that. But so what we do is, and when it comes to sin, we may understand this is normal, but we have to trust. If we see the word say no, that's not normal, that's sin, we have to trust what God says and not what we think. I got a really good example of this, and y'all have heard me talk about this many times, but I'll just bring it up because it's such a good example of this. We've raised 4 kids now, and 3 of them have gone, and 1 remains. And he still isn't sleeping in a bed. Okay, and so here we are with these kids, and we have very few rules at our house. I mean, we never had curfew. I mean, we just have hardly any rules going on over there. But one of the big rules is don't get on my sheets, because I don't want dirt in my bed. That's the big rule. So we just have little rules like that. But here's a rule we have. Main big rule is you're not going to date until you're out of high school. And I know everybody, you have your thing. That's not your rule. It's our rule. So don't make it your rule because it's my rule. It's just our rule at our house because that's what God led us to do. So now I've got these 4 kids, and that's fine when they're 12. But, you know, it's not so fine when they actually find somebody they like. And even worse, when the person they like likes them back. Now we got problems. Now they want to talk. Can we talk? So we have to have the talk. And here's how the talk goes. Well, Mom, I know we're not supposed to date, but, you know, I really like her and she really likes me and, you know, and, but it's just, I mean, we're friends and but can't we just spend some time together? Can't we, you know, Mom, I think she's the one. I know, you know, Mama, I know I'm only 14, but I'm pretty sure she's the one. We're going to always be together. And blah, blah, that lasted 3 days, but it sounded really good on day 1. I tell you, it was a really strong argument on day 1. But, you know, here it is. So at some point or another, I had to sit down with all 4 of the kids at one point or another, and we had to have the challenge. There was the point of yielding. There's no yielding when there's no, you know, there's nobody to like. I don't like anybody. There's no yielding. You know what I mean? It's no yielding, but I'm not even interested, don't even like anybody. That's not a problem. The problem is when I want to date somebody and now Mom's telling me I can't, now there's got to be some yielding, right? So the option is either I go with what Mom says or I rebel. I disobey. I don't yield. So one way or another, I'm going to yield. I'm either going to yield to what I want to do, my own understanding, or what Mom wants me to do. So we come down to the point where Mom says, that's wonderful, that's great, you can be friends, but you're not going to date. Now, the kid has a choice. The kid can trust in Mom with all their heart and lean not to their own understanding. Or they can do what many kids do. They can do what they want when Mom's not around and hope she doesn't find out about it. I mean, they really wouldn't just openly defy me. It would be, you know, subversive. So then, here's the issue. With all of them, I saw them go through this process of, are they going to trust in Mom or are they going to go their own way? And all of them came around to the fact that maybe it would be best to trust in Mom. Now, see, here's the thing. Here's why they could trust in Mom, and this is sort of the process. So here I am, I'm sitting here with my mom, and she's telling me I can't date, and I really, really want to date. And everybody else I know is dating, and other people tell me what an idiot I am, that I would not date. And I should just go ahead and do it, because what does it matter? And I can keep it from my mom. So sitting here and they're dealing with all this and Mom's saying, you're not going to do it. So they have this process they go through. And one of the things you have to go through in this process of trusting God or trusting Mom is And this is what mom would use on you. Let me just ask you a question. Who loves you more than I do? All your friends that are telling you you need to do this. This person that likes you. Who do you know, who's proven out over time, is really committed to you, really has your best interest at heart? We have a track record. Let's look at the track record. Let's talk about this time when you wanted to do something and I said, no, that's not a good idea. And you did it and it didn't work out so well. Let's talk about this time. Okay, we have a track record here. So who really loves you and who's really got your best interest at heart? All right. So you just let that sink in for a minute. And then the next thought is, who knows more here, you or me? I know you're 14 and you think you know everything. But you don't. And you think I'm old and don't understand anything you're going through. But I actually do. So you're going to just have to trust me. And inevitably in the discussion, we would get to this point. I just don't understand. The kid was being honest. I just don't understand. I don't understand. Everybody else says that. I don't understand. I really like him. Mom, you know you can trust me, Mama, this, that. I just don't understand. It doesn't make any sense to me. What is blah, 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 blah. What am I supposed to do? And that's when I look at him and say, I know you don't understand. You're just going to have to trust me. You understand? I mean, I'm asking you. Do you understand? So we go through that process. But at the end of the process, who really loves them, who's really got their best interest at heart, who really cares about them, values them, is proven it. And then, who really knows more? Who's lived longer, lived through a lot more things, observed a lot more things? Well, guess what? It's really good to have parents that are looking out for you when you're 14. It's really good for you if your parents have the audacity to tell you no about that thing you just really want to do. It's really great when they look at you and say, no, not going to do that. That's really not in your best interest. That's what parents are for. Help guide you in the way you should go. It's also what God does in our lives. He guides us in the way we should go. Helps us. So when we're like having this issue, whatever it is in our lives, we see what the Word says and we don't want to do what the Word says. We want to go our own way. We have to consider a couple things. We have to consider, does God love us or does He not? And I think one reason that people can really get themselves into sin is because they don't understand God's love for them. Because just that one subject, one point. Because see, here's what happens to us when we're tempted to sin. And we know that this is sin, but what we do is we think, if I don't do this now, if I don't get this way, you know, it's just like stealing. When you steal, it's because you don't have, you know, you don't really believe, you don't have a strong conviction that you can get it any other way. It's just here, it's there, I can just have it now. Eddie's phone is here. I don't know why anybody would want to steal this phone. If Eddie got a better phone, Matt, we could steal yours, but... But, you know, it's here, and I want one of these phones. I don't have the money for the phone. I have a little bit of money, maybe, but I don't have, but it's just right there. I could just have it right now. I could steal it. That's what people do. They just reach in. I could have it now. But God says not to steal. And if I trusted God and understood that He loves me, He's for me, He's given me His word, He's faithful, He's promised, then I could, and when I'm really interested in taking the phone and stealing the phone, I could be reminded that my God is going to take care of me. He's going to supply. And even though I don't have the money for it, God is going to take care of me and He'll give me the desires of my heart. So I don't have to take Eddie's phone. I can resist the temptation because my trust is in God. That's the same thing now. With a phone, it's pretty cut and dry. Here's where it really gets interesting. You're 28, and you really thought you'd be married already. And you meet a guy. You're a single woman, and you meet a guy. And, you know, there's some things about him that little flags go up about. You know, like, I mean, he says he's saved. He, you know, I know his parents, they go to church every now and then. And I know he's not really that interested in the things of God, but, you know, he said he'd go to church with me if I wanted him to. And, you know, I know he's had a lot of jobs. And he's just, you know, only declared bankruptcy twice. But, you know, he's getting it together now. And I know that restraining order that his last girlfriend has against him, I know she was just really dramatic. She was just crazy. It really wasn't his fault, you understand. And I know that those three kids that he has with those three different women, they just trapped him. But, you know, he seems to like me. And this may be my last chance. Now, I'm telling you, people do this. You want me to give you names? I'm not. It might be your name, so I'm not. But people, this is the way people think. And they think this might be, you know, and they don't, instead of trusting God, that God will bring you your mate, that he has a plan for your life, and that if you'll just trust him and stay faithful to him and be expectant and stay with what he's got and keep seeking first the kingdom and his righteousness, all will be added to you. So, but instead of all that, I'm not really sure. Let's just face it. And so I'm just going to go ahead with this. See, this is how people really get themselves into trouble. Because they don't trust God. That's what it really is when we get down to it. And they don't trust God because either they don't believe he will. Because he certainly doesn't. I mean, I'm 28 already. Why didn't you bring him already? I don't know. Trust God. What was your alternative? Marrying him? That's not your alternative. Your alternative is to trust God. See what I'm saying? I don't understand why, you know, it's never worked out for you before. I don't know. I don't know all that. I do know this. God is good for his word. He is faithful who has promised. I'm staking my eternity on that. So I better go ahead and stake my marriage prospects on that. So I'm going to trust in the Lord. I'm going to just keep trusting in the Lord. And I'm not going to go ahead and do something that's outside his will or plan for me. I'm going to yield. All that process that I'm talking about is what I mean when I say yield to God. You got to know that he's trustworthy. He's got your best interest at heart because he loves you. And he's smarter than you are. He knows a whole lot more than you do. And that's hard to admit sometimes. That God actually knows more. He sees more. You know, we think because we can Google it, we know everything. But you can't Google it all. But the Bible's still true. Whether I can come up with the answer for it or not, I'm going to have to just trust in him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Then in all your ways, that's part of it. It's not just in every now and then one of your ways, but in all your ways. Everything in my life is before him. And he wants me to yield in every way, in everything, not just this little thing over here or this other thing over here or this thing. He wants me to yield in everything. In all my ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. That's it. That's yielding right there. And you do that. You just keep doing that, and you won't be perfect in it. You won't ever be completely perfect in it, but you can get a lot better in it. You can start that way. You know, after Sunday morning when I just taught what I did about sin, I had a really unusual message from somebody, and it's someone who'd been struggling with some really, really rough sin, dark sin, and something that was just strangling them, and they didn't know. They had told me they really didn't know if they could ever be free from it. And they were at church on Sunday, and they heard the message, And after they left, some of the things that they heard just kept ringing in their ears, ringing in their ears. They just kept hearing it over and over, ringing in their ears, and said that they were sitting, they were sitting at home just yesterday, and they realized that they had not had the urge, the desire for that, the thing that had controlled them and held them captive. And they recognized, oh my goodness, I hadn't even realized, but since Sunday morning, that whole desire, I didn't even notice that this had not been part of my life. And they said, and then the very thought of it disgusted them. It was so disgusting. And they realized in that moment, this is what it's like to be free. And the person that wrote me said, I have not quit crying since I had this revelation. It was a man. He said, I have not quit crying since this. I can't stop crying because I have never experienced this. And I feel so grateful to be free. Freedom's a great thing, man. Freedom's awesome. Wednesday night. Freedom's awesome. And you can have it. And really just in the process, what I didn't tell you is a person that's really spent the last few weeks, couple of months, really yielding to God in all kinds of ways. And Sunday was just like the tipping point. But things had been going in a better direction, and then there was that big breakthrough in his life. Freedom. Freedom. And I tell you, you just start wherever you are, whatever you're doing now, and you just start yielding to God. And it just starts with just saying to yourself, self, God loves you and he's got a better plan than you do. Self, God's smarter than you. Self, even if you don't understand it, just go ahead and do what the Bible says. Just go ahead and do what God's saying to you on the inside. Even if you don't understand it. I'm going to tell you, you don't ever get beyond yielding to God. There's things that I'm right now having to yield to God about, and I don't really understand them, and I don't like them at all. But I'm still having to yield to God. All of us, you don't ever get past it. You're still yielding to God. But it's so much better. I have learned it's better to yield to God than to resist him. Because that's the other part. That's the other side, is resisting. Yield to God. And what does the Bible say about resisting? Resist who? Resist the devil. And with resist the devil is just the opposite of yielding to God. It's don't acknowledge him. Don't trust in him. Don't acknowledge him. And don't go down the path he's putting before you. Don't acknowledge him. When he's coming along and he's speaking to you, don't listen, don't entertain it, don't let it in. Don't go with it. Because all sin, all behavior, all starts right there. It does. That's where it starts, is right there. There has not been anybody who Sunday morning I just mentioned about sexual immorality. There is no one who's committing adultery, they're in the act, and suddenly they're like, wait a minute. I was just walking down the hall, and how did I get here? Unless there were drugs involved, or some kind of mind-altering substance involved, you don't get in that position without something happening in here first. With everything, just like I was showing you with Eddie's phone, you don't just walk over and take it and go out in the door and go, oh, what did I do? I just picked up his phone. If you did that, that's not stealing. That's like accidentally picking up somebody's phone. Stealing is when you're like, I want one of those. I can just have that one. And you take it. It all started right here. So you have to deal with it right here. When it comes, you resist it. Y'all know about resisting. I don't have to talk at all about resisting. Because we're all very good at resisting. We have spent a lifetime resisting God. So just turn around and resist the enemy now. I don't want to do that. I don't want to share the gospel with him. I don't want to do what my mama says. So we're good at that resisting. Just do that now with the enemy. Praise God. Well, we're going to stop right there. Why don't we stand? Hallelujah. Father, we're just grateful tonight that we can trust in you, that you have our best interest at heart. Just talk to him for a moment before we go. Just affirm to him that you do trust him. Just let him know you trust him. I mean, that's where you start. You can't yield to him if you don't trust him. Father, we just trust in you tonight. We just remember that you are the creator of all things. You're the creator of heaven and earth and all that in them is, including us. And if you created us, you know us better than we know ourselves. You know the number of hairs on our heads. And if you know us better than we know ourselves, we can trust you. Hallelujah, because you're smarter than us. And Father, we know you know the end from the beginning. You know what was before and what shall be. And we can trust you. And really, the reason we can trust you is because you've already given us the greatest gift that's ever been given. You've given us Jesus. So how would you ever think to withhold anything good for us, from us? The reality is you've already with him given us all things. And so we can trust in you. And Father, we know you're faithful. You're faithful who promised. You're the God that set the sun to rise in the morning and it rose. And you're the God who caused the earth to spin and for the sun to set at night. And just while we've been in here, the sun is set tonight. And we are fully sure it'll rise in the morning because you're God and you made it to do that. And if the sun's going to rise in the morning, then we can trust you. You're good for your word. Hallelujah. So we're just trusting in you. We're trusting in you with our eternities. And what's probably more challenging is we're just trusting in you today. We're trusting you with the things we understand and the things we don't. The things that we can't quite figure out. We're tempted to draw back. We're tempted to do something else. We're tempted to take the shortcut. We're tempted to bail on it. We're tempted to just go ahead and just let sin have its way. But no, we're going to trust in you. You can make things right. You can bring it to pass. Hallelujah. And Father, I pray for strength in our inner man, strength tonight for all of us in our inner man, strength to stay the course, strength to trust in you, strength, Father, to yield to you and not yield to the enemy's temptation, not yield to the enemy's plan to get us off course, but to just continue to yield to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you for it. Thank you for it. Just as I'm saying that, I just was just thinking about this. Sometimes when you yield, because I've been in that other lane that I was talking about earlier that came up the ramp, the one that actually has the yield sign. And there are sometimes when you're yielding that you have to come to a stop and you have to sit there and wait because there's really no opening. Now, you know, in practical terms, when you yield, you're supposed to keep moving and work your way in. Sometimes it's just impossible. You just have to sit there. And sometimes yielding is just sitting there for a bit until things can get in order. I just thought of that. Just came up. Sometimes it's just sitting and waiting, being still. I think there's a scripture about that. Be still. Know that I'm God. And you can trust him. If he's got you in a holding pattern, you're good. You're good.